there's a theme in scripture we're actually going to talk about on Good Friday, but it's meals. Mm-hmm. Or five, you could say four. Four meals in scripture that God instituted. Well, not God instituted, but four main meals in scripture. One was eating without God, that's sin, happened in the garden. Second was a Passover meal, which we're going to read about. Mm-hmm. Third is communion. And the fourth,
which we're also going to read about.
That's what we're also going to read about. And the fourth is a coming meal that we will all eat, those of us
looking
who follow Jesus.
Yeah. You're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And we got a lot of verses, 70-some verses. And actually, this story, all of this is something that if you've been around church at all, you're familiar with this, even if you've just been around the bridge for a couple of years, because these are themes that we've addressed a number of times. It's Jesus' Passion Week. Yeah. So we don't have time for a lot of comment because of the number of verses here. We're going to try to get through this and read it mostly straight through. I'll start verse 1. The festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. The leading priests and teachers of religious law were plotting how to kill Jesus, but they were afraid of the people's reaction. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he went to the leading priests and captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted, and they promised to give him money. So he agreed and began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus so they could arrest him when the crowds weren't around. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived, which is Passover. When the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked. He replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you." It's a little bit like when he had him pick up that colt, that donkey. "Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal." Now, we think we know where, we believe that there is now a synagogue on the site of where this was located, because there's evidence in the basement of that synagogue that at one time it faced towards where Jesus would have risen from the dead. Yeah. And also because there seemed to be some Christian graffiti in the basement of that. So it was a place of early Christian worship, and usually they did that over prominent places, and we think that was where the upper room was. Verse 13, "They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, 'I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God,'" which is a pretty cool thought, but also imagine what was going on in his own mind and the stress he was under, knowing that this was his last meal. "He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I want you to remember me. And again, there's nothing in here that "eat this and you will be saved" or "you will be forgiven."
Yeah.
This was a memorial, and it was intended to be symbolic. It's not, you know, people say, "Well, the bread really is flesh." Well, Jesus did that all the time. You know, he didn't chop a finger off and say, "Here, take, eat this."
Right.
And he also said, "I am the door." He didn't mean he was made of wood. And "I am the road." He didn't mean he was made of Roman cement. But he was saying in symbolism, "I want you to remember me by eating this bread and thinking of my body." "But here at the table, sitting among you as a friend, is the man who will betray me." Verse 22, "For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him?" The disciples began to ask each other which of them would ever do such a thing. Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. You know, just crazy. "No, I wouldn't do it. I'm the great one." Jesus told them, "In this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people. They are called friends of the people." Yet they are called friends of the people, even though he's saying it, they're not. "But among you, if it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant." Boy, that was lost so quickly when they got into the whole papacy and all of that. He says, "Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves?" "The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here." That is not with Jesus' followers. "For I am among you as one who serves. You have stayed with me in my time of trial, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So even when we get to heaven, there's going to be a hierarchy of leadership. There would be responsibility, and it's just interesting. Verse 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat." This is a interesting verse here. Satan wants to do away with you, saying, verse 32, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you've repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers, knowing what's going to happen. And Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you out to preach the good news and you did not have money, a traveler's bag or an extra pair of sandals, did you need anything? No, they replied. But now he said, take your money and a traveler's bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. You want to pick up in verse 37?
For the time has come for this prophecy about me to be fulfilled. He was counted among the rebels. Yes, everything written about me by the prophets will come true. Look, Lord, they replied, we have two swords among us. That's enough, he said. And accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went to the usual spot of the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give up into temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. At last, he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached, led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. But Jesus said, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords. And one of them struck at the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear, and it was healed. Then Jesus spoke to the leading priests and the captains of the temple guard and the elders who had come for him. Am I some dangerous revolutionary? He asked, that you would come to me with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why don't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day. But this is your moment. The time, the power of darkness reigns. Mm. So they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed him at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't know him. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I am not, Peter retorted. But an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is from Galilee too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly. The guards in charge of Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and said, prophesy to us. Who hit him that time? And they hurled all sorts of terrible insults at him. At daybreak, all the elders of the people assembled, including the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. Jesus was led before the high council, and they said, tell us, are you the Messiah? He replied, if I tell you, you won't believe me. If I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated in the place of power at God's right hand. And they all shouted, so you are claiming to be the Son of God. And he replied, you say that I am. Why do we need any other witnesses? They said, we ourselves have heard him say it.
Hmm. All right, so tomorrow we're going to have him before Pilate and his crucifixion and all that. So we'll get to that. Right now we're going to jump over to our Psalms for today. And the Psalm today is Psalm 144 and 145, which looking at the last verse of Psalm 144, so good. Yes, happy are those who have it like this. He just went through what God was doing for him, asking God to take care of him and to watch out for him, and that God walks with us and is there for us. And he says, happy are those who have it like this. We have this God. Happy are indeed are those whose God is the Lord. Now, is the one true God, is he your Lord? Lord meaning boss.
Yeah.
In charge. Is he really in charge of your life?
Master.
Yeah. Because that is the only way to produce the happiness, the fulfillment that everybody is looking for.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm a bit confused here because spring, I thought, is always March 20th.
21st.
But apparently, I just Googled it, and it said that it's like, so spring, I'm just Googling it right now. It says spring in 2024, first day, is it's like Tuesday to Thursday. Yeah, Tuesday, March 19th to Thursday. Oh, no, no, it was the 19th this year.
Oh, I'll bet you it's because of leap year.
Is that why?
Yeah. Yeah, but your leap year changes things.
We missed.
Man, that's a bummer.
Day of spring. Yeah. Look at that. I know you rely so much on this podcast to know which national day it is. And we didn't do the first day of spring.
Yeah.
And we messed up Cinco de Mayo. So yeah. We're just fake news.
Man,
over
we get
here.
In trouble for that one, though. Yeah. I can't wait till we get to the actual Cinco de Mayo and we can redeem ourselves. It's funny because some of my best friends are Mexican, and it wasn't even the Mexican friends that reached out to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like the Norwegian and Swedish friends.
Yeah, right. Said,
what?
Right.
Don't you even know? You know?
Yeah. I think our Mexican friends were just like, "Nah, gringo, whatever. Yeah, just let it go." All right, hey, make it a good day today.
And what, do you have not a day for today?
I mean, what? It's national crunchy taco day. So go
okay.
Eat a
crunchy
taco.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's as good as Marcho de Mayo or whatever that was. No, it was Cinco de Marcho.
Cinco de Marcho.
It was Crunchy Taco Day. I love that. I love
it's also
Crunchy
World Puppetry
Taco
Day, but I'm not a fan of puppets. Freaked out by them. So.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. So go have a taco.
All right.
Good talking to all of you guys. And it's
Thursday,
tomorrow.
So we'll see
Friday. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.